With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I wrote the news today in a 10 outside the midway rides, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool beat Spurs, West Ham were much better, and Pete saw Newcastle lose. Away we go! All right. We're back and better than ever, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah,
okay. Pete saw Newcastle lose. That is the main thing.
Yes. Yeah, we'll come on to that much later, of course. There's tons of Premier League action to trawl our way through before then.
It's a smorgasbord.
It really is. There was a lot to choose from. But we'll start with Tottenham Hotspur losing at Wembley to Liverpool.
And Roberto Firmino, losing an eye.
It was a bit of an eye gouge.
I thought...
It's not an illegal move, Luke.
Not enough. Well, it's accidental. Not enough has been made of exactly how horrific that was.
Yeah.
We're used to seeing players getting flicked in the face, and obviously getting flicked in the eyes, painful and stuff. Have you seen the stills image of
awful.
It? I mean, it was Vertonghen, wasn't it?
I think so.
Or whoever it was, their finger is up to the knuckle. Poor Firmino's eye. I mean, it's horrendous.
Oh, God.
If it's one sort of curl of the finger to make a sort of rudimentary claw, and you're popping the eyeball out. That's any given Sunday.
Psychopathic behaviour, that.
Yeah. No,
I know it's accidental, but it's accidentally psychopathic behaviour.
Subconscious psychopathic behaviour.
His eyeball is pregnant now.
Yeah. Yes. It could well be. He's giving birth to a lot of baby retina.
What if his hand is evil?
Could be.
It's like a Twilight Zone thing. Yeah, we're only just seeing the true horrors of it now.
Chop it off then, Jim.
Yeah.
But it was a good win for Klopp's clan.
It was handball, eyeball, handball. it was a good win, and Liverpool were very, very good. And if you were going to say that you know, this would be a real test of Liverpool's credentials, as I think you're probably going to suggest, Marcus.
Might do.
I would say, obviously, they passed it, because had Spurs scored a last-minute sort of penalty, which they had a claim for...
Which they probably should have got.
I'm going to stick my neck... They probably should have done
it. I'm going to stick my neck at it.
No, I'm going to say it would have been the most undeserved point in Premier League history.
Hang on. I'm sure there's a few examples. That,
but no, you know what I mean, though? Liverpool were amazing.
They were really, really good. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the worry for them is, obviously, they didn't concede that penalty, but that was it was very much luck in that. And they're the points Liverpool were dropping last season. Yeah. And they didn't drop a point here because of a bit of the rub of the greens.
So it was a nervy...
They should have had about five or six goals.
They really should
have, It was a nervy last couple of minutes, so they should have been well out of sight by that point.
Definitely.
It's unlike them not to finish off those kind of chances. So I think Klopp, he was right to praise his side and say this is our best performance of the season. And again, the amount of goals that the front three in particular have got in them, you'd think this is an anomaly. You shouldn't worry about it too much. Of course, if it carries on, then you have to address
Klopp,
it.
Klopp said, sorry, Luke.
That's all right.
Klopp said at the time.
Kloop.
Yeah. He said, I would love to say it's the first time in my life I've been in a situation like that, but it happens so often. My wife hates it.
Right. I don't know what he means.
He could
that.
Be talking about anything. Really. Yeah.
The eyeball.
I think he was talking about the conceding a goal in the 93rd minute. I think that was very much the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know why his wife's particularly annoyed.
Why
about
she involved?
That.
Well, because she supports his career.
Okay.
But Liverpool were sort of uncharacteristically, their decision making in the final third was regularly quite poor.
Do you think that's because they were surprised they got themselves in those chances against Spurs?
The takeaway, and there's a few takeaways from Spurs' point of view which I observed watching the game. One is that when I saw the team line up again, I thought, okay, depending on the shape they play there, that looks a bit better than the Watford team. But again, it looked like Dembele was at the base of midfield largely on his own, because Winks has been out of football for so long, and Dyer had an absolute nightmare, by the way. I mean, it looked like a standard way too big for him, which was worrying to watch because I quite like Dyer. Dembele's more of a shuttler, isn't he? He's not that guy who sits at the back of the midfield, back of the midfield in front of the defence and protects. He couldn't do it. And then what happened was, every time Spurs lost the ball, which was all the time, Rose and Trippier were way up, high up, and they couldn't get back. And the spaces that Liverpool had, who were probably one of the best teams in the world at exploiting that sort of space, it was suicidal over and over again.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. If you press... So the base of that Spurs midfield looks weak, is what you were saying and have said recently. And Klopp will see that. You know, if you know that, Klopp knows that.
Well, yeah. Pochettino,
and he's going to take the players to press them. And as you say, the fullbacks, you know, they like to bomb on. You've got space, Jim. And they got space.
Absolutely. And Pochettino said that they play with a little bit of fear as well, which is, I suppose, maybe explains those gaps, which is surprising because Spurs have been full of confidence of late. And I think you look at this game and you think this is the standard that they're trying to sort of set themselves against Liverpool more than anyone, because they've sort of, you know, they are, I suppose, it seems odd to say as about a team like Liverpool, but they are looking like an emerging threat in terms of teams that have never won the Premier League before. And Spurs have fallen way short of them there.
Way short. And I also think Vorm had, like, simultaneously a good game as far as he made quite a lot of saves, but in two key moments he was found wanting.
Yeah, I know what you mean,
way.
Yeah.
And so the key moments, it's probably harsh to say that he cost them two goals, but really he could have done better with both. I mean, the second one where it sort of squirmed through his hands, You wonder how that happened. And the first one, of course, he got sort of physically dominated, didn't he? And wasn't able to get a good quality sort of punch on it or whatever.
It's rare to see like a bit of a cock-up when he's been so busy elsewhere and played so well in those situations. Like you said, you usually see someone be really good and just stop everything.
Yeah.
But you don't just drop clangers like that, really.
And I think although Lloris isn't, I know it sounds crazy to say it because he just won the World Cup, but Lloris isn't an improving goalkeeper, I don't think. And
certainly lots of people, off-field behaviour.
Quite. Mm. And lots of people would agree, I'm sure. But it's still quite a big drop-off to Vorm.
Yeah.
From Lloris, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So they struggled. I thought Liverpool were absolutely fantastic. Had it not been... If they had had better decision-making and execution in the final third, it would have been a cricket score. They would have scored so many goals.
What about James Milner?
Amazing. Mm.
James Milner, described by Stuart Pearce as the best pound-for-pound player in the Premier League's history.
Well, they got him for free. So I mean,
I think
so, yeah, I mean, he's worth his weight in free.
He means pound for pound in a boxing sense.
Okay,
I mean, the word Stuart Pearce kind of takes the gild off that lily, doesn't it? Really,
Pete, hey, what a player he was.
Can I just say, like most of the rest of the world, I don't think Marcus knows what Stuart Pearce meant, because I don't think Stuart Pearce knew what he meant.
Well, then what Pearce meant was, in terms of the whole package, he said, he described him as something like he's ridiculously low maintenance. He's never in any scandal.
I understand that.
His work rate, his intelligence, blah, 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 blah. But he's phenomenal. What is he, 32 now, I think, James Milner?
He is, yeah.
And you think,
I hate that idea. For me, he's still turning out for the under-21s.
Yeah.
Well, he's not turning out for England anymore, which... perhaps maybe he's given him a bit more energy and so on, especially playing for a Jurgen Klopp side.
There was talk that in pre-season at Liverpool, Milner was top of the tree and all this sort of measurements and stuff they
made. He's had a remarkable career because we remember him many, many years ago bursting on the scene at Leeds, I think it was. Then I think Aston Villa, was he more of an attacking midfield? You remember him scoring a few goals and whatnot.
He started off as a winger at Leeds, did he not?
He did. And then at Manchester City, he was a bit of a winger, then became a bit of a utility man, played everywhere, including, I think, centre-forward on one occasion at home. And went to Liverpool, and you thought, okay, that's good. And he wasn't playing so much, and then he was filling in at left back. And now he seems a very crucial player in this whole plan that Klopp has to try and win the league. And of course, Champions League and whatnot last season. Amazing, really. And it shows you that there's still life in someone who is apparently approaching the twilight of their career. And yet they're playing in a high pressing system for a team that has ambitions, Peter.
Glenn Rorder. Has some nice things to say about him too.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I like Glenn Rhoda.
Gareth Barry is the record Premier League appearance maker with 653. I think Milner's got around 500.
And he strikes me as a sort of player, especially if he's setting records in a team as high energy as Liverpool now in pre-season, that could go on for 4 or 5 more years.
He'll have a role to play
somewhere. He loves playing football, doesn't he? So even when he leaves Liverpool.
Seems like a good egg as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I'm sure he'll play at a high level.
Do you think his,
I like Millie.
Do you think his level of fitness will inspire Harry Kane?
I don't know if it's a case of that. No. I don't know if I understand the question.
Surely, Mark, because it would have done.
Do you think the money Harry Kane earns will help him get back to fitness, Jim?
It bloody should do.
How can he be tired?
I don't think Harry Kane's seen James Milner at Wembley on Saturday and gone,
I'll have a bit of that.
The penny's dropped. Yeah. The penny has dropped there. That's what I've got to do.
There's the standard.
Yeah. Well, the Spurs have a bit of a... it's not a mini crisis or anything, because it's too early to say that, but they've got a few things to iron out. I mean...
two losses on the bounce.
A lot of people have said that Kane... I sort of would agree with this, although I don't think Kane's too bad at sort of dropping a bit deeper and playing alongside someone. But
you don't want him there.
It appears that Kane plays best up front on his own, yet they've pushed Moura up recently alongside him, and it just doesn't seem to be working. Of course, Dele Alli was missing for the game as well, so I don't know if that would have made a difference. But last season, Liverpool pressed, and Spurs bypassed them quite easily and didn't have an awful lot of the play, but were able to win really easily. I mean, they won 4-1, even though Liverpool had loads more possession from what I remember. Yeah, it looked... a lifetime ago on Saturday, didn't it? And we have to say, by the way, as well, that Liverpool defensively have been so good in recent months, and they lined up against Spurs last season with Matip and Lovren, and this time with
Van Dijk wasn't there.
Well, Van Dijk for me is the best defender in the Premier League.
Yeah,
and Gomez obviously benefits hugely from playing alongside him. And Gomez is a really talented up and coming young player, of course. Defensively, since Van Dijk's been in there.
Oh yeah.
It's been night and day.
It's been
fantastic, and with Alisson behind him,
those three players. I know they had Van Dijk for a lot of last season as well, but it showed, didn't it, in how they progressed most notably in the Champions League. But those three players, the two centre halves, and you've got a bit of quality to come in as well to.
I mean, Matip's a very good defender.
Matip's good, and Lovren's decent
when
as well.
His confidence is up as well. Klopp this week has been saying that Dan Lovren doesn't believe in himself enough. That Klopp's never lost any faith in him at all. Mm-hmm. But his own opinion of himself doesn't suit the quality of player that he is. And I think actually that does make sense. We've said many times before ourselves, he's clearly a confidence player, isn't he? Like he was fantastic at Southampton. He's had great displays for Liverpool.
He played in a World Cup final.
It doesn't make so much sense when he actually literally says in public, "I'm one of the best defenders in the world."
And I was about to say, I think that the problem is...
Maybe he was just told to say that.
Think he's I don't know, maybe trying to tell everybody and then everybody tells him back and then he feels better.
I think Pete Donaldson is one of the best defenders in the world.
Is Chris Smalling one of the best finishers?
That's a nice goal.
In the Premier League.
Let's
one of the
move
best
on,
finishers
then. Of the weekend.
To Watford versus Manchester United. Big win for Mourinho's minions in their salmon-coloured kit. Are we calling it salmon?
I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't it apparently a tribute to the Manchester Evening News pink newspaper.
Is it right?
That's what I've read. I don't know if that's true, but that's true. But that's what
Well, they've won a deeper pink then.
Yeah. Unless it is that colour, of course, I don't know. But they ended Watford's winning run, which I feel is more of an important point. David De Gea was superb.
Mm, absolutely.
And perhaps needed a performance.
Get the same
one. Not needed. We know he's absolutely quality. But maybe for his own, we're talking about confidence, you know, he's had a few high-profile mistakes recently, including at the World Cup and so on. But Ben Foster described him as the Lionel Messi of goalkeeping. Full of praise he was, Ben Foster, after the game, which is quite nice when you, a fellow professional says that about an opposition player, although goalkeepers union, maybe all that kind of stuff. But yeah, De Gea, some great saves, Jimmy.
Absolutely. I think there's, you know, it's never really been in doubt, though, is it? De Gea is one of those players where I think, as a goalkeeper, as we all know, mistakes are high profile, they're very, very visible. I don't think there's any doubt that he would get back to this sort of form. But I mean, he has absolutely got them the 3 points there late on with that late save.
He seems to win so many points for his team.
Yeah,
like, so in a way that no other goalkeeper does.
So how do we look at this Man United performance then? Because they've gone away, Watford have been flying high.
Yeah.
And so it is a good win. So you don't say, oh, well, it's only Watford, they should win the game. Well, okay, well, by the way, they did win the game.
I think for the first hour, Man United dealt with Watford's physicality really well.
They did.
And it made you think, I mean, he picked that lineup for a reason. Matic, Fellaini, Pogba, all big units. Lukaku can obviously bully his way around. Smalling isn't a sort of wallflower. Young's got a bit about him as well, against his old team, of course. And for the first hour, I thought United were almost pitch perfect. They dealt with Watford, everything they had to offer. And Watford really couldn't get a foothold in the game. But as soon as Watford scored, it was a very obvious momentum shift. And you thought, it wouldn't be outrageous to suggest that Watford will get a point here.
And they were unlucky not to.
Exactly.
Because Mike Dean got to get his cards out, didn't he?
He did, exactly. But, I mean, to be fair to him, Matic making that sort of challenge very obviously to stop a Watford attack when he's already on the yellow. Not really much
doesn't,
he can do about
doesn't
it.
Mean he enjoyed it any less.
No, exactly. It's great.
Did you see Mourinho referring to Mike Dean and his mates?
Did he? Okay. Did he?
Like there's the pack of them. Was that the other officials? Yeah. He stopped short, I think,
his buddies, his crew.
Yeah. He just about stopped short of disagreeing with the decision. It's interesting, Mourinho's persona and aura at the moment. I think. I don't know. I'd like to give him a bit of credit. I think if Mourinho, and this is perhaps the problem, can just humble himself a little bit and try and think of the bigger picture and think, okay, I'm not bigger than the club, and kind of go with the momentum and everything that's there, then he may well get a bit of joy. But it's when he sort of thinks, well, hang on, I have to tell everybody and the players in the club and all that I am Jose Mourinho. And that's at a club like Manchester United and Real Madrid. He gets in the way of proceedings, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is play the hits.
Play the hits. He's on the greatest hits tour
exactly.
now.
Do what you're known for. Do what the crowd want.
I think he's been surprised over the last few weeks how he's been kind of represented in every corner of it.
He came out fighting on, when would it have been, on Thursday maybe, in a press conference where he talked a bit about Rashford and the minutes he's played and the appearances he's made under Mourinho. And Mourinho did a pretty good job, I thought, and it was shaky territory because he started bringing out stats and all that other stuff, and you can go down the Rafa Benitez at Liverpool kind of route there if you're not careful. But he actually came out of it quite well. He compared Rashford to other young English players who perhaps aren't playing as much, Solanke, Calvert-Lewin, and one or two others, and said Rashford's played the equivalent of 60-odd Premier League games already in his own 20. Now, of course...
Well, Calvert-Lewin's probably played a few.
You can... Fine, but the point I was just going to make is you can fire back and say, yeah, but Rashford's a better player than them, so that's fine. But what he was actually saying is, look, I'm protecting this player, and I'm also giving him a lot of first-team experience. Yeah. And as a result of that, he's going the way of England, he's scoring goals, and he's still playing. We don't... I read it as saying, why do we want a young English player at 20 to be so burnt out that by the time he's 25, he's not worth a damn? And that followed by the performance they put in, the result they had. And of course, Rashford wasn't eligible for selection because he was suspended. All in all, I thought it was actually quite a good weekend for Jose Mourinho.
I thought it was,
And they didn't miss Luke at all, because Luke Moore.
I was surprised he was available for selection after that knock he got.
Well, because they've got that kind of super-duper medical centre, haven't they? Apparently, the Premier League allow you to play... if you've got a super-duper medical centre, and Manchester United have, even though that's bullshit.
He must have not been concussed then, because if you're concussed, it's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks,
Richard, what happens is Richard Scudamore walks in and goes, how many fingers am I holding up? And if you get it right, then you're fine.
Well, he definitely was concussed, but the Premier League do have a get-out with teams have these facilities.
I didn't know that.
Which seems to fly in the face of every medical kind of opinion in the world.
Anyway, yeah. Young played instead, did okay.
Yeah.
And well, he delivered both balls, didn't he? He was involved in both goals.
He can hit a dead ball very well.
Mm. You can.
Mr. Young.
So Lukaku scored with his stomach, didn't he? So
yes.
He's on for the golden belly.
Nice. I'd be very surprised if anyone else scores with their stomach this season, yeah. But it could happen, Jim.
Yeah, it got me thinking that, though, should there be like a golden head? Like for most headers.
That'd be nice.
Because I think we probably need more individualism.
No, that would be for the person who scores the most headers.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Absolutely.
Oh, I thought you meant the best header. Another award, Jim.
Can I
also just say, I think, and if it was me scoring with my belly, you could say it's a golden belly. I think it's a bit disrespectful to call it a belly and stick for a golden stomach.
Yeah.
Golden abs.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Parkin, maybe.
An ab fab.
Should we just have tons of awards? So the best left-footed goal.
We've already got tons of awards.
Best smell.
Yeah.
Most body parts scored with.
Yeah. Most body parts present. Someone's got an extra limb.
Surely everyone wins that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows, ladies and gentlemen? Let's go to Newcastle versus Arsenal. Of course, Arsenal 1-2-1. Another win for them, another loss for Newcastle. Peter, you were there. You were watching with your prying eyes in the stands at St James's Park. What did you make of the whole
thing? SportsDirect.com arena.
Okay, right. Mm.
It's not that.
No.
I spent an unholy amount of money going to Newcastle to watch Newcastle just fall a bit in the second half. They were dreadful. Arsenal were unspeakably bad, and I was at half time. I think they were bad in the second half as well. I think. Look at his little face.
Not as bad as you were.
At half time,
the score, mate.
At half time, I was really annoyed because I was like, "Oh, this is going to end in a goalless draw," and Arsenal are going to be lucky, and Newcastle are going to be unlucky to get that. And then second half, Jamal Lascelles went off. He was injured on the field, but he knows how to marshal defence, even if he's injured.
But he was injured in the warm up,
yeah.
And they still gave him like what 60 minutes or something.
Twisted his ankle, but as soon as he went off, Newcastle just fell to bits.
But what about when Torreira came on for Arsenal, Peter? Was that a change? A sea change that that the Arsenal ship then sailed into glory?
Did Lascelles go off at half time? Sorry,
It was a great free kick. It was a great free kick.
Oh, it was a great free kick. Fantastic free kick.
Not many people would have said
he's got those in him, Xhaka.
But it was just really disappointing that. I thought Newcastle had them on the ropes a little bit just as we were going at the second half, and dreadful. That said, they had a lot of players out. They had a lot of players on international duty. It was to be expected, I think, that performance. But
I think really for a team like, and obviously, but you were there, so I'll defer to you. But I think in a game like that, where Benitez will target certain games, and I think I said on Thursday he should go for him. He should go for it. Of course. What needs to happen for Newcastle to beat a team like Arsenal, for all the criticism Arsenal get, is that all their players need to be good, basically. And I think, as you mentioned already to us, Pete, Diarmé didn't play that well. Murphy didn't play that well. I think Richie had a quiet game as well, didn't he? Got subbed off.
Yeah. And Diarmé in particular, he was running the show. Unfortunately, that show was Cirque du Soleil. back to good old Mo Diarmé. Vintage Mo Diarmé. Yeah.
5 seconds late to everything.
drunk. Just drunk.
Hi, everyone, I'm here. Oh, where have you gone? Yeah.
It's a shame that they... I mean, I didn't... Did you think that Newcastle really went for Arsenal? I mean, think about what Cardiff had a go at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And obviously they lost 3-2, but they were unlucky.
No, I don't think Newcastle went for Arsenal particularly. I think,
Do you think they should have done?
Effectively, yeah, because early on as well, we saw Peter Cech looked a little bit shaky. We playing it out from the back. And also, I think Mustafi's got away with one there.
They really targeted Cech as well, because they knew he's not great when he's only got a couple of seconds to get the ball out
Absolutely.
Of his feet.
Absolutely. And also, Mustafi, there's a really frustrating moment with him. Where
he slipped, didn't he?
Not even that one. If you actually look at the build-up to Peter Cech knocking the ball out for a corner, Mustafi plays a really difficult ball to him when he's got Bellerin open, and he then sort of like shouts at the sky in anger. It's like you've played him into that danger there, and he's the one that's getting all of the criticism for it. And he did have that slip later on as well. Where it was, and I just feel like, you know, a couple of those a game is too many. If you've got a couple of moments like that in a game, you're going to get punished by frankly, better teams, with all respect.
And Arsenal,
you're going to drop so many points doing that.
Arsenal was so ordinary the first half, and I think the reason why Newcastle just couldn't get at them and make that sort of performance where they actually go for some goals. Rondon was on the bench. Shelvey was on the bench.
Rondon would have been an ideal player.
I was going to say, what? Yeah.
Well, I think it all changed because Lascelles went off there to bring Clark on. But then, you know, Kennedy coming on at 69 minutes. And then they brought Muto on. I thought, well, you know, if you're going to have Rondon and Shelvey on the bench, I just think he thought that it was kind of gone. The game was gone. Right. And I don't think he was expecting anything out of it.
Well, I didn't see the game. I only saw the goals. When Torreira came on at half-time, didn't he? Did he have did he come on for Guendouzi? And have like
he
a
did.
Big,
yeah.
So did he have a big impact, Herrera?
He did. I mean,
people are crying out for him to start games,
it's
aren't
the same,
they?
Now? It's effectively the same as what happened against Cardiff, where he came on for Guendouzi. And Guendouzi's a very tidy player, very good at keeping things simple at the base of midfield. Torreira's very different from that. He's always moving forward. He's always looking to just get play going. And he's a very sort of canny sort of tackler as well. And he's just a different sort of player. And he's just an energetic player in a key part of the midfield.
Arsenal can afford that against Newcastle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. if you're going up against the Army and Hayden, Hayden's, you know, he's honest and he's hardworking. I know he got sent off earlier in the season, I think, didn't he? But him and Diame in midfield, Torreira, they can afford Torreira in there alongside
absolutely.
Someone in a game against Newcastle.
I would think what's happening is that Emery's still figuring out his system, still figuring out his squad. I mean, it's important to remember he's had so few games, under 10 games with the squad so far. So I think there's a chance Torreira will start in the Europa League, because I think he might be putting down the message that, look, if you play well, you stay in the team. And Guendouzi has been playing well. So dropping him would probably be harsh, but I wonder if he'll use the Europa League to sort of ease Torreira in and keep him in from there.
Yeah, Peter, you sound very downbeat about the whole going up to Newcastle. Did you go out after? Did you have a Greggs?
Did you go to Yarm?
I did go out afterwards, yes. I had a good night out afterwards.
Did you go to Yarm? Answer the question.
Did not go. Yarm's miles
away. Yarm's near Middlesbrough.
Leeds.
I don't know. Middlesbrough.
Well,
I think it was a fair question from Jim. Because for me,
I just wanted to say Yarm.
It goes Watford Gap, Scotland.
Yarm.
Everywhere else is in the Badlands.
We're going to talk about West Ham. You get the chance to say Yarm in a minute. So did you, you know, any fights or anything like that?
No, I did not have a fight with anyone,
okay.
No. I went to a place called Popworld and drank too many Jaeger bombs for a man of advancing years.
Yeah, because I wonder when you're going to start to get bored of this lifestyle, because it's not happening anytime soon.
But then I suppose the problem...
I'm bored of your lifestyle.
But the problem is, though...
I'm bored of mine.
The problem is, though, the people aren't bored of your lifestyle, Peter. So presumably when you're smashing through those Jaeger bombs and everyone's chanting your name, there's a pressure on you to perform for
there
them.
Was a...
Everyone's chanting his name.
I'm very much the Modiami of drinking.
Yeah.
Sorry, Modiami is the Modiami of drinking. I did see a man who was walking down the street. I presume it was some kind of stag do situation, but he had a big cardboard cutout.
That is just Newcastle, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, big market. He had a big cardboard, life-size cardboard cutout of...
Modiami.
No, who's the bloke who does Planet Earth? Richard Attenborough.
David Attenborough.
I always get too mixed up. Yeah, David Attenborough, just walking around with it. It's actually quite unwieldy to carry a life-sized cardboard representation
of
a man.
Anyone.
Yeah. Mm. Difficult.
I'm curious as to why you keep sort of banging this Modiami drinking drum when he's one of... He's obviously a Muslim.
Well,
I think he just might be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could just be bad at football.
Bad. Yeah, yeah. No.
Just
I'm not actually saying he's... I say he plays like he's drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Late, slow, confused, doesn't know where he is.
Does he start full of energy first 10 minutes?
There's a lot of comparisons between Pete's night out and Modiami's performance.
Yeah, I think so.
Confused, late.
Is there some strange situation happening where he's getting your hangovers?
Yeah.
He's
got to deserve this. I don't drink.
Onlookers getting annoyed with them.
Yeah.
That kind of
maybe
thing.
He's just been poisoned. Oh, maybe always, he's constantly
always,
being poisoned.
Always
he's,
appears
he's,
to be on his own.
He prepares food badly and he's just constantly got a rolling salmonella situation going on.
Or maybe some sort of Munchausen syndrome going on within the club.
Yeah.
Sorry, is this you or Modiami?
It's very hard to tell. But we're
you
gonna
saw
go,
my dinner last night.
We're going to go for a quick ad break, and after which Peter will talk about some emails that you've sent in.
Talk about some emails that were sent in.
See you in a moment.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And I think you are an ostrich.
Great blast from the past. Yeah. Come on,
this Nigel Pearson. I think you are an ostrich.
The man who set the foundations for Leicester's title-winning season. Mm. You could argue. I say Pete's going to talk about some moves because that's sort of what you do now, isn't it?
What do you mean?
No, we've renamed it.
Yeah,
the section is now called Pete Donaldson's Bonnet Full of Bees.
Yeah, I mean that was suggested by several people on Twitter, so you can't even take that.
I think it was me who said it originally.
Yeah. Go on then, Petey. Let's have some emails. No, let's have some bonnet bees.
Yeah.
Give us some bee mails.
What's up first? What's up first? Which bees first?
A lot, lot of people talking about the Mitrovic kind of Kenko
celebration
sort of thing. A few people sort of bringing up the fact that Emil Heskey, he did like a DJ celebration.
I said that last week.
Except he wasn't in impersonating a DJ. What he was actually doing was 1,000 times funnier than that, according to Leon in particular. It's hard to believe now with the benefit of hindsight, but Emil William Ivanhoe Heskey was once the hottest prospect in English football. Promoted to the Leicester squad at 16. He represented England at every youth level. And the famous celebration actually depicted Heskey using an old-fashioned telephone to make an imaginary call to the England manager to ask why he wasn't in the squad yet.
That's quite obscure.
Wow. I don't think that's
Speller's
what it
not
is.
Involved
Speller's
in it.
Speller's not having it. You're not having it.
I mean, Emil Heskey is your sort of golden era, isn't it? That's like classic Sven era. So this, I'd put you as an authority on this.
Mm. I think from my recollection when Heskey, I mean, I suppose we can just look up some clips and have a look, but he would be very much kind of like shoulder
DJ.
Up to the ear. Yeah, and his free hand would be scratching. Yeah.
Now he's typing the numbers in.
And Robbie Fowler was eating the grass.
Exactly.
He does it all the time in training. And if he doesn't, how come he does?
Yeah.
And also, Garrett and Barkley, points out that Luca Toni did a similar celebration.
Oh, did he?
But apparently it was him turning up the volume on the crowd noise.
I like that.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Turn it up. I mean, that might be massively wider.
You've had loads of emails about this, but none of them actually are involved in telling us what Mitro's doing.
No.
Okay,
James, I can only read the emails. I can't just make them up. Yeah. I mean, I might start making them up.
Sorry, now you can read them, can you?
James says, hi, gents. I just wanted to give a shout out to Mark Schwarzer. I met him on the train back from Watford versus Man United today, and he was genuinely a lovely man. Spoke to him for 10 minutes from Watford Junction to London Euston, and he couldn't have been nicer. The highlight was what he called Mina Raiola a fat pig.
Nice. I've worked with Mark, and he's very serious, but very nice.
Yeah, ooh. I agree with that.
Yeah, there we go.
I agree with that.
Everyone serious likes Mark Schwarzer here.
Everyone likes Mark.
And that's why we're going to rename the studio the Mark Schwarzer Studio.
We are not.
No, it's not happening, is it?
What should we call it then?
The Kevin Keegan Suite.
Yes.
Is that safe?
No, probably not.
I was going to say.
Not Jim, you in here as well.
No. Jim, over the weekend, I hear you got your foot caught in a bucket.
I did get my foot caught in a bucket, yeah. I was trying to get some 4G AstroTurf out of my sock, but I did it standing up, and I went to put my foot down again, and it went in a bucket, and I fell over and hit a chair, and now there's a bruise on my rib. So...
It's going to happen eventually. Are you out of action for the next game then?
No, I'm all right. Some people would have been expecting a joke there.
No.
That's what happened.
Just the continuing existence.
I had no idea that Jim still played a bit of soccer every now and then.
I haven't in ages. And this is probably why.
Yeah,
I'm disorientated.
At least it happened in private.
Yeah.
If you want to get to your show at thefootballramble.com.
West Ham had a great win at Goodison Park. Mm. Massive win for them. Their first of the season, and it was on Pellegrini's 65th birthday. He can now retire a happy man.
Mm. Imagine they said, right, that's it.
That'd be great.
You got to retire.
Am I 65 today?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll leave on a win.
Yeah. Is this what they need? It has to be someone's birthday.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the last birthday win for a manager, I think, was Arsene Wenger.
Yeah. I mean, just anyone in the squad for West Ham.
Oh, I see what you mean. I don't know, Jim, but the win takes them up to 16th, which is mad, isn't it? Think about how bad they've been. Cardiff, Huddersfield, Newcastle and Burnley are below them. I mean, silence.
It's early days, isn't it?
Yeah, it stunned the studio into silence there because one win from West Ham has put them in the safety zone.
I think their opening goal, I think Arnautovic wasn't going to get that ball to him. He made it so hard. He made so it's so hard for himself to kind of get the ball into him. But
it was just about a lovely Yarm Alenko.
It was great.
First goals for the club.
Yarm Alenko both his goals cutting on his left foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second one in particular is beautiful.
And Arnautovic linking up the play nicely. Everything sort of seemed to go right for West Ham. And what they were able to do is something we've talked about on this show, by the way, which is chucking another player in midfield to give him a bit more, a few more numbers in there. Mm. And they were able to do so. A lot was made of Morgan Schneiderlin playing after his father sadly passed away, and he obviously got subbed off. Maybe it would be remiss of me to suggest that these things were linked, but he didn't have a great game. He was quite subdued. I thought Sigurdsson did really well, but it was quite an average performance by Everton. Obviously rounded off by a mistake by Pickford, which wasn't great to see from an England point of view either. Mm. But West Ham were good, and if they can click like that every week, I don't think anyone's suggesting they can't be decent. I thought Philippe Anderson was very good again as well. So they've got good players in there. It's about finding the balance.
If they've got a front three,
it?
I suppose, or a sort of attacking trio of Philippe Anderson, Yarn Malenko, and Arnautovic, that's decent.
Yeah. I don't worry about West Ham this season. I thought they've bought well. They just need a gel. They just need a bit of time.
And I think it's very early to be worried about them, isn't
massively.
It?
Yeah. I'd be more worried about, you know, Everton's really expensive striker Tosin just not being able to just.
They missed Richarlison's goals, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, you know, but Tosin was, you know, he was brought in to do a job and he's just not doing it. He needs to be taken out of the team.
Do you mind Genius made a fair point where he said, of all the riches that Everton have spent, they don't seem to have a really decent top quality centre forward.
Mm. It's hard to find one. That's why.
We were talking about this before when they sold Lukaku. You can't just go out and buy a replacement, can you? It's not as simple as that.
Well, I mean, sometimes you can.
Everton, you can't.
You can't. I mean, where realistically are Everton going to shop around for a striker of that quality? It's not going to happen.
Marcus Rashford.
You can say any name. It's ridiculous. Yeah. They're not going to get him, are they?
Yeah. Well, I say any name?
They're not going to. The whole point was when Everton tried to replace Lukaku, they bought a load of different players. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of them was with hindsight, of course, 2020 hindsight, you could say they're all too similar. A lot of us were saying that at the time, and it left them horrendously unbalanced, and there was no one to put the ball in the back of the net. I thought Tosin at the start would be a good solution for them because he's strong, he's played in the Champions League, and he scored in the Champions League, and he's got the game that suits the Premier League. I think he's been a bit unlucky in the first five, how many games have we had in the Premier League now? Five. Mm. And he's not scored yet, I don't think. And he had a couple of chances against West Ham.
One straight at the keeper. It's like, come on.
The reality is, Cenk Tosin isn't a top draw centre forward. But that brings you full circle back round to the original point, which is that Everton aren't going to be able to buy a top. They have to take a gamble on a Championship player, a young player, or a player from overseas. Yeah. And they did that with Tosin. Oh. And at the moment, he's not scored a huge amount of goals.
They spent huge on Richarlison. Possibly for that fact, because if you have a forward like Tosin, you'd think he can bring someone in. Richarlison's already scored goals. Annoying for Everton that he's got sent off. But, you know, in the he played for Brazil, was it last week or the week before? Mm. He scored a couple of goals. That is maybe where, in Everton's case, you have to be a little bit more creative. Try and get Theo Walcott scoring a bit more. Mm. You know, try and share the goals around if you can't get that top quality forward. But they didn't. I mean, they weren't actually that bad, Everton. But West Ham's sort of intensity.
It was a very open
tempo,
game, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. West Ham, so much more improved. I don't know what Pellegrini says. I mean, I think that there was talk that all the West Ham players said to each other, right, come on, for crying out loud. Just come on. I mean, you think about the performance against Wolves before the international break compared to this one. It was so much better, you know. And Arnautovic, what a forward he is. He seems to have everything, really, because he can play on the shoulder of the last man because he's got a bit of pace in behind, but he can also drop short. I mean, the way he scored his goal, the link-up play and so on, you mentioned the assist for Yarmolenko and so on. I'm sort of thinking he might be sort of like a complete centre-forward in some regards.
The obvious comparison with Mitrovic.
Yeah,
he's similar to Mitrovic in style, and he's also got that sort of, I think, the mental approach that Mitrovic has got. Whereas if he doesn't fancy it, he just doesn't fancy it.
Yeah.
I think now he's, because he's that type of character, you can put them in. I'm not suggesting these players are similar in terms of ability necessarily, but the type of character we're talking about, Zlatan, Bentner, Mitrovic, Arnautovic, they're all those sort of players that if they fancy it, They all think they're the dog's bollocks.
Bentner's done well to get in that list.
Yeah, well, no, because it's a mental.
It's a real rogues gallery, that, isn't it?
They all feel,
I know what you mean.
They all think they're the dog's bollocks. It might well be with Arnautović. Now, some of them are, Zlatan, yeah. Some of them aren't, Bentner.
Yeah.
But they think that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Arnautović, maybe he's now thinking, well, I've got my move that I wanted, and now, actually, West Ham have brought so many good players in that I feel like I'm actually got a chance to really achieve here.
Very much.
And that's motivated him. But the problem is, you never know with him, because next week he might not care.
Yeah,
he might not give a shit, and he might not try at all. So, I think it's a dangerous thing to do, to build your team or your attacking threats around a forward like him. But when he's on song, he's brilliant. And of course, as we just said about Everton, West Ham can't go and buy £100 million striker. Even if they had the money, no striker would want to go there.
Yeah. Was it fair to say Mark Noble was probably enjoying Declan Rice in the midfield with him?
He needs that type of thing. He needs that. And
think about how much they've been overrun in previous games.
Do you know what, Marcus? It was so obvious, and we were laughing about it, of course, on this show. When something is that obvious to us, you're playing Noble and Wilshire in a 4-4-2 away from home in like the Premier League or whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're going to get overrun, completely overrun.
If it's apparent to this show, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But Declan Rice was superb, though.
He was very good, and he's a really talented young player. But you mentioned Wolves earlier. Wolves were brilliant against Burnley as well, by the way. They were absolutely fantastic.
Missed a few chances, but they still got the win, Peter.
They did.
Still got the win, didn't they? So well done to those Irons. Let's go down to the Championship, because well done to QPR. They won again. McLaren's got them going. Since losing their first four league matches, conceding 13 in the process.
Several over in one game.
QPR have picked up 7 points. They've progressed in the Carabao Cup. They're having a lovely time, Jim.
Another vindicated ex-Newcastle box.
Newcastle box.
With McLaren, you feel like he's... Do you know, we talked a week or two ago about every time Mourinho at United has a bad result, you start thinking the chat just starts that he's out, he's going to be gone. I think that whenever McLaren has a poor result, you start thinking, everyone starts saying, McLaren's coaching career is over. Yeah. He's been finished years ago. But to be fair to him...
You're one of those people.
A little bit I am, because when they got battered, absolutely like destroyed by
glee
West
in
Brom,
your voice.
I know. I think they then followed that up with a home defeat.
Bristol City,
yeah,
was it?
Quite a handy
4-0?
Home defeat. 3-0,
three,
I think.
Three or four.
And since then, to be fair, he's got a reaction out of the players and they're doing okay. Bringing in Hemed and Naki Wells in a situation where they had no one to score goals was really important for them. Mm. Of course, Hemed scored the goal to I think they won 1-0 after that 3-0 defeat to Bristol City, and Hemed scored.
That's right, yeah.
And although Hemed and Wells didn't score in this game against Bolton, they did both play and they both made a contribution, particularly Wells. So, yeah, who knows with McLaren? Who knows?
Who bloody
but
knows?
But Bolton are in a really terrible state, by the way.
Yeah, they are. But saved from administration last week, I think it was. But then one of their former benefactors, Eddie Davis, died, sadly. Which did put a bit of a dampener around the stadium, the reports were saying. So, strange times for Bolton, but hopefully their admin problems are now behind them. Let's go to Rotherham. They beat Derby 1-0. Frank Lampard given his marching orders.
Got sent off and he
was way out of the technical area.
He was way out of the technical area, and also he was really unapologetic afterwards as well. Like, yeah, I mean, if that's a sending off.
The referee actually showed a red card.
Yeah.
He actually showed a red card, which is something we're going to see this season in the Football League. Great to see.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's Frankie. Who would have thought it would be Frankie Lampard?
He cares. Thinks he's a player. He just wants to run on.
Yeah. Well, they're doing okay. But you can't have the manager getting red cards. Mm. Lead by example. Frank, Leeds got a late equaliser away to Millwall. That keeps them top. And Pulis's Middlesbrough lost to Norwich. It's a good time in the Championship, as it often
great
is.
Stuff.
About 3 points separates, I think.
It's always great
to bottom.
It's always a great little holiday to go down.
It's been like 30 games already, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's really shaping up now.
It's a lovely little holiday. Should we extend the holiday by a day and go down to League One?
Oh.
Why not, eh?
Pompey are top.
Top of the league. Beat Peterborough away from home, who were top.
Yes. Incredible. Are they reversing up the Pompey Highway?
Portsmouth have got a chance this year. That's all I'll say.
There's the smile.
And you're feeling good.
They've got a chance.
The smile. It's back.
Yeah.
It's like Harry Redknapp's in charge again and you're winning the FA Cup.
Yeah, good old days.
Yeah.
You have to ruin it.
What, do you want the FA Cup?
I know that, Marcus.
Right.
You're not telling me anything new there, are you?
Keep
your eye on those super seasiders, because we're doing something this season.
Super seasiders.
Yeah.
Super
no seasiders. One calls them that apart from me. I like to get ownership of my own little nickname.
It's a bit like the Hearts. Nobody calls them the Magnificent Gorgie Boys.
Apart from you, yeah.
Yeah.
People are going wild about Hartlepool do very well in the in their fifth tier of
found their level.
People are going wild about Hartlepool.
Name them. It's like the seven out of the last eight matches.
Was it buzzing up there when you went to your mum?
It was bouncing.
Why didn't you go there instead of Newcastle?
I should have. Well, it was 1-1, so.
Yeah, well, better than a 2-1 loss.
Exactly. Though,
you know what I mean? Do that. Yeah. Before we get an ad break, a couple of questions for you guys in the Scottish Premiership. I feel that Hart's title bid is picking up the speed of a runaway freight train. Yeah. Can the Hart juggernaut be stopped, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my next question is I suppose because a bit worried about Brendan Rodgers' side, they drop points again. Can they hold off Livy's bid for a Europa League place?
I'll tell you what, with the same points as Livingston five games in, I know it's only five games in,
tell you what,
but
though,
it's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad. And Stevie Gerrard's Rangers won again, didn't they, as well?
They did.
But they lost the week before, so it's wide open in Scotland.
It's not wide open,
it is.
Hearts are running away with it. There we are. All right, it's time to crack out in the WhatsApp group after this break, Pete Donaldson.
There's no doubt what I have done on Saturday after the game is disgusting.
The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is coming at you on Thursday. Our best bet came in.
It did. Man United are winning both teams to score. We got someone in the hot seat still.
Yes.
So we're looking out for another bet on Thursday. Do tune in for that.
Yeah, they're on a brace. Who is it again?
I can't remember his name.
Okay.
Honest, yeah.
He was on Twitter showboating. He was very pleased.
Well, so he should be. So we should all be. That's money.
I'll find his name for you want.
I think the second win, you're allowed to showboat because you're aiming for that elusive third.
Oh, we encourage the showboat.
Andy Duncan.
Andy Duncan.
Don't go putting Sim on Mignolet to get a hat trick or something.
They're showboating, then they're showboating.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, Harry Maguire to score against Spain.
At any time. Yeah.
10-1 shot.
But I like that, though.
Yeah.
Don't, we know what England are like at corners.
Charity didn't like that.
No.
Don't go door nuts, Duncan.
This will be good. No, go on. Please carry on.
Don't go door nuts, Duncan.
Okay, Duncan Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Worth it, isn't it? It's worth it.
It wasn't worth it. Have we got a... Yep.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody.
You got any more puns, Pete?
Puns.
Right, Andy, if you do win your bet, don't go out there and get all dunk and disorderly. Okay, now, in Brazil, I'm sure many of you saw this during the Flamengo-Vasco da Gama match.
Big game, by the way.
It was a big game, yeah. Vasco's Bruno Silva was knocked unconscious. Now, he has since been charged from hospital, so I believe all's fine there. But the ambulance drove onto the pitch to take him to hospital, failed to start, so a number of players had to give it a push.
Oh, it's magnificent.
It's quite a smart-looking ambulance as well. Yeah. It looked brand new.
Yeah.
So how's that even possible?
Players from both teams as well, which I liked.
And it's more like the players are genuinely laughing when they're doing it. They just kind of go like they're talking to the driver, and then one of them starts laughing, and so they're just pushing.
That's right. He won't know anything about it. He's knocked out.
When he wakes up, hopefully he'll be in hospital.
Yeah. It ended up going though. It's not a push it really.
No, they pushed it. They jump started it.
They pushed it all the way to the hospital.
Yeah. It's going to be there at the lights, though. It was going to be there at the lights when it stops.
Three hours of stoppage time.
Fred Flintstone at the wheel.
Push it all the way to the hospital. Come back. How long, ref? I'm knackered.
Match was abandoned. No, it wasn't. They carried on. So that's absolutely marvellous. Chaps, anybody else got anything for the WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Go on, Jim. Go on, Jimmy.
There's been some un-Fulhamish behaviour.
Oh no!
Seen this during the rounds?
Where? Not another pie.
This is from Twitter. After the Stoke game. This is from a guy called Martin Smith, who is a Stoke fan.
Oh, it's not involving Fulham.
Who said no? But it's certainly un-Fulhamish. I think you'll agree. To the Stoke fan who threw a pie after we scored our first goal today, just to let you know that you hit a young girl in the face and left her crying in pain and upset. Well done, you cowardly loser. You must be so proud of yourself. You hit a young girl in the face. Now, we're not condoning that.
It's not Stoke's way, is it?
No, it's not. Or is it? No. It appears to be. But yeah,
no, it doesn't, because people are contending it.
These flying pies are remaining pies an issue. Yeah.
People are trying to up the ante after the World Cup, maybe.
Maybe.
And we don't want that to happen.
No,
pies
are for eating.
For new shirts
projectiles.
And young girls' faces, you know, come on.
What about something we talked about on, because this is supposed to be the WhatsApp group, we're supposed to have already discussed this, Marcus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Zlatan's 500th goal.
Oh, of course.
Lovely yeah. one.
Oh. I didn't see it. Could you talk me through it?
The ball comes over his shoulder. Rather than go with his left, he sort of karate kick, roundhouse kicks it into the bottom corner with his right for his 500th career goal.
Nice.
Doesn't celebrate because...
they were 3-0 down at the
time. They got beat pretty heavily. I think they lost 5-3 in the end. 5-3. So it was more of a consolation. But
bit of a shame because they were 3-0 down and pulled it back to 3-all, I think.
It's Latin consolation, though.
It was a bit similar to Michael Owens against Portugal in the Euros in 2004 after 2 minutes.
Oh, it's better
minutes.
Than that.
Yeah, it was slightly
that.
Similar.
Didn't in style.
Much, much more spectacular.
Didn't you interview the great man, I say through teeth?
Michael Owen, not Latin. Yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah.
It's available now, Ramble Meets.
It's well worth a listen. And just to finish on, unless anyone's got anything else.
Actually, when I was up with the Geordies, they're all asking me, were you involved in this Michael Owen interview? Yeah. I went, they didn't tell me it was taking place.
Keep Pete away from it.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't discuss Newcastle at all.
No.
Yeah. We talked about...
But a footnote.
Yeah, well, I mean, Liverpool, Real Madrid and Man United got the mentions. Mm. I mean, and England,
we discussed a bit about how Michael Owen knew he was finished but carried on playing for Newcastle. It's not funny, is it?
No, it isn't.
Not funny.
It's not funny.
We all know he was playing for England on loan to Newcastle United at that point. So,
exactly. Just to finish, Peter, your favourite, Tim Cahill. In the spirit of George Weah and Liberia, Tim Cahill will be given a... The president of Australia. He will be given... they don't have a president.
Everyone else is having a go.
Yeah, they will be given... he will be given a farewell friendly match for the Aussies against Lebanon next month. And that's nice to see,
I will happily say that it is richly deserved.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Well, he's still actually a player.
Exactly, yeah. He was at the World Cup squad, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the World Cup squad, yeah.
Is he in India at the moment? He's signed for an Indian club this week, I think.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
But just to reiterate... George Weah now has the official record of being the oldest player ever to appear in an international match.
Love it.
And you just know when wind of that gets to El Diego, he has both his up beady eyes on that.
Yeah. On his sat phone.
Yeah.
In the jungle.
Yeah.
So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. We look forward to having you in attendance on Thursday for the preview show.
For a new best bet.
Absolutely right. I've been Marcus Speller. He's been Luke Moore.
See ya.
He's been Jim Campbell.
Bye.
And he's been Pete Donaldson.
Sayonara.
And you've been wonderful.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.